Hello, and welcome to episode 6 of Radio Gore Press. I'm Sarah. Joining me, as always, is Phil.
I am.
How are you, Phil?
I'm good. I am good. How are you, Sarah?
I am also good.
This is good.
Mostly, yes. It's all good. Yay, that's a great start.
It is.
This time around, I can't remember if we announced it last episode or not.
I think we may have done.
But we're going to discuss...
Fright Night.
1985's Fright Night. Not the remake.
No.
One or two of you might be sad to hear that. The rest of you will probably be rejoicing that we're doing the original. But before that, on the theme of vampires, we're going to talk to you about some vampire movies. It's not a top five list. It's not a bottom five list. It's not a... I don't know, really. It's just five movies that
list.
We want to talk about. Yeah. It's a random list. So, do you want to kick us off? In any order...
Well, this one's a bit close to our hearts.
Go on.
Here at Gore Press.
I know what you're going to say.
Stakeland. Because that is one of our only. Okay, we have a couple, don't we? Yeah, Dave Scullion we've got a quote on the cover of the DVD, haven't we?
He did, yes.
And on the poster, it's all very exciting. I can't help but check every time I go to a DVD store. Check to see if it's
make
there.
Sure they're all facing forward,
yeah,
in HMV. Nothing like a bit of self-promotion. He quite rightly absolutely bloody loved Stakeland.
He really did.
As did, I think, pretty much everybody else at Gore Press. That's one that kind of is one of the very, very rare examples of a film that unites us all. I don't think that's ever really happened before.
We showed that at the Half Halloween, didn't we?
We did. Is there another... Like, maybe that and The Thing.
Thing's
basically
pretty,
all we agree on.
Thing is pretty high regarded, isn't it? Highly regarded.
So, I mean, that's quite high pedigree to say, you know, to be able to talk about that in the same breath as The Thing.
Definitely.
As one of the very few films that unites every single one of our reviewers, that's pretty unheard of, really.
It doesn't happen that often, does it?
It was just wonderful. I remember seeing Zombie Virus on Mulberry Street. I want to say it was...
Forgotten about that.
Yeah.
I've got that DVD.
Yeah, I was really surprised by that. I wasn't expecting much, but I really, really enjoyed it. I thought the characters... It was the characterisation more than anything.
Yeah.
Because the effects weren't great. It was kind of an interesting take on the whole zombie film. But I remember really loving that and thinking, oh, I'm going to keep an eye out and see what these guys are going to do next. And then I'd forgotten all about it, and then Stakeland reared his head, and it was just this almost perfect sort of dystopian view of vampires that we hadn't really seen before.
No, like, it was a very kind of unique interpretation, wasn't it?
Very, very, very dark, but again, really well characterised, really well scripted, and just the world they created, like this post-apocalyptic world, was just... fantastic. And the vampires were a little bit more interesting
than
the traditional,
which is always a good thing.
So definitely belongs on a top five list, even though this isn't one.
Or a five list.
Do you want to pick another one?
Well, vampires, you can't really mention vampires without mentioning Buffy, can you?
Well, you can.
I jump in there. Oh, come on, Buffy.
You could, but I'm not sure I'd respect you.
Christy Swanson in 92, 93.
I want to say
early
92.
90s, yeah.
I
early 90s Buffy.
Fucking love Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I know that makes me rather unpopular amongst most people.
And Donald Sutherland turning up.
And Paul
everywhere.
Rubens. Oh, Donald Sutherland just literally
just his head kind
up.
Of sliding in, sliding out.
Oh, see, it was brilliant though. It was so. I know you read into it a little bit more when you did your massive sort of Buffy article, didn't you? I'm not sure how close that was to Joss Whedon's idea.
It wasn't that. I think a lot of that's why he did the TV show, because there was
perfect.
A lot of kind of studio influence on the film.
That's what
it
I figured.
Kind of took it away from his original message and such. So,
yeah. As much as I love it, and I love Joss Whedon, the original film didn't feel very Joss Whedon.
Oh, no, not at all.
Like, some of the more sly dialogue, maybe, but otherwise, it was, like, clueless with vampires, basically.
Pretty much.
Which, to me is
good work.
Awesome.
I did work, in fact, but
yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I love it just for Paul Reubens' death scene. Spoilers if you haven't seen it, but come on now, it's been 22 years. What are you playing at? The whole thing is just ludicrous, but yeah. I think brilliantly so. It's just hilarious. And Luke
very
Perry.
Very enjoyable.
I used to hate
very
Luke
silly,
Perry.
But very enjoyable.
So yeah, I think that belongs on our list. Just because it's quite a personal favourite, yeah. Even though it's stupid, and I acknowledge it's stupid.
Who cares?
Off the back of that ridiculous choice, I'm going to mention Let the Right One In.
It's a good one.
Again,
a very
original.
Good one. Yes. I've yet to see Let Me In. No. Have I seen Let Me In? I may have seen Let Me In.
I don't know why you're asking
basically
me.
Basically the same film anyway.
They are, yeah.
Almost identical.
Yeah, which we'll talk a little bit more about in the bulk of our Fright Night review, mm-hmm. As we discuss pointless remakes.
Yeah,
Let Me In was very much the same film. As much as I love Chloe Moretz, you know, the casting was great, the kid actors were great, but it just didn't serve a purpose other than to exist for people who didn't want to read while watching the film.
Bit of a shame.
Yeah.
Bit of a shame.
But the original, really incredibly effective, sort of just from the washed out kind of look of the whole thing. That was a really interesting take on vampires that you don't really see very often.
And there was how much affection there is.
Yeah.
It was a very affectionate movie in a way, like these kind of, you know, there's for saying it's vampires, there's a lot to do with, you know, love, really, which is an odd one.
And I really liked the fact that they sort of touched on the androgynous, asexual nature of the vampires, potentially.
Because
you sort of assume that the little girl is a little girl.
Yeah.
But then,
nope.
Perhaps not.
Spoilers.
Oh, we're spoiler heavy here. I think people come to expect that now. Off the back of a massive spoiler debate on Twitter today. It's quite interesting. We obviously fall on the side of, if you listen to our podcast, expect spoilers. Let the Right One In. I think that's another one that got a really high score on GorePress.
Wouldn't surprise me. Very deserve it. Very deserving.
Yeah, I can't remember who reviewed that, but I'll put money on it being Scullion again.
Probably.
Apparently he likes his vampires. Go on then. Two left. Pick
leave
one.
These to you.
You'll leave them both to me?
Yeah.
Right,
because
well,
I haven't seen either of them.
You've not...
I know, right?
Are you shitting me?
Sorry.
Are you actually shitting me?
No.
Holy fuck. Oh my god. Right, well...
Because it's basically one of your favourite movies of all time, really, isn't it?
Well, that one is.
Yeah.
Like... Oh my god. I'm actually a little speechless.
I know, I'm sorry.
Now.
I've let you down.
I'm going to have to fill the air by myself. I'm most unhappy about this.
Go for it.
Right, so the one... I mean, I guess that you might not have seen because of it's a generational thing. Like, I grew up watching it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware of what it is.
it's a film.
I'm not that ignorant, but, and I'm kind of aware it's kind of, yeah.
It's
but
The Lost
anyway,
Boys.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so nothing I say now is going to make any sense. You don't know what Creepy Sax Man is on the pier.
Afraid not.
You should do.
But I feel I should rectify this now.
It's got both Coreys in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's... Oh, man. Oh, my God. Right. I might insist that we do this for a podcast.
I'm happy.
Maybe not next time.
Yeah.
2 weeks on the trot.
Vampire movies. Yeah.
There's been a lot of kind of talk of The Lost Boys lately that I've seen anyway, in the same way that a lot of people are talking about The Goonies. In that...
Can't believe that's been remade.
Oh, I know. The less said about that, the better. But yeah, it's been mentioned in the same way in that a lot of people now, because it's one of those really widely loved films like The Goonies, a lot of people now are coming out and saying, well, is it just nostalgia though? Is it borrowed nostalgia? Is it actual nostalgia? Why do you actually love these films? Because they're not that good. I couldn't possibly comment on that because nostalgia is a huge factor for me.
Yeah.
If I saw it today for the first time, I might not love it as much as I do now, having watched it about 25 times since the age of about 10. So obviously that's a huge factor.
Yeah.
And I can't talk about it in any other capacity because I've seen it a lot and I love it.
One, yeah.
So it definitely belongs on my list, for sure. I love that film. It's got a cracking 80s soundtrack.
Mm-hmm. As does Fright Night.
As does Fright Night, yeah. It's kind of... Fright Night and The Lost Boys would make a really good double bill,
I can imagine, yeah.
Because they're both... I think a lot of people take The Lost Boys too seriously,
mm-hmm.
when at its heart, it's very comedic.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous in the same way that Fright Night is. I think Fright Night is out-and-out comedy horror. And I think that gets lost a little bit when people talk about it. But it's just so enjoyable. It's so stupid.
I will have to watch it. I will try and rectify this as soon as possible.
Yeah,
so I can
do. But more importantly,
my family again.
Yeah, you have brought shame on the Talladegas. But before you rectify that, rectify the fact that you haven't seen Near Dark, which is the other one. That rounds out our five.
3 out of 5 ain't bad.
That's a song, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right, Meatloaf.
Meatloaf, isn't it?
No, Near Dark is just... To me, that is the pinnacle of vampire films. It's a romance, it's a western, it's a horror.
Okay.
It's directed by a woman, which obviously appeals to me.
Always a good thing.
Catherine Bigelow, yeah. It's my favourite Catherine Bigelow film, I would say. Fuck you, Point Break. It's just... so well done. Lance Henriksen is Lance Henriksen. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Like,
Lance
I would
Henriksen
say
is always Lance Henriksen.
Yeah, like whoever made what's her name, Catherine Hardwick, mm-hmm. and Stephanie Meyer need mm-hmm. to go and sit in a corner, think about what they did to vampire romance, and then watch Near Dark, Clockwork Orange style, with toothpicks in their eyes.
That would do the trick
repeatedly, because. At the very heart of Near Dark, it's a romance.
Yeah, okay.
But it's fecking brutal and brilliantly made. And okay. There's some really nasty parts in it, but at the core of it, it's a romance.
Yeah.
And that's what propels the story, but it's masked in a very adult, brutal film. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who like Near Dark, but maybe wouldn't acknowledge... that the romance is perhaps so prevalent.
Mm.
Like, if they'd been told they'd just watched a romantic film, they might argue. But for me, that's what makes it so different. Twilight, it ain't.
Yeah.
For the better. Yeah, that's...
our five.
That's our five. You need to watch Nidar.
I know, I do.
Really need to.
I really do.
Sit you, Catherine Hardwick, and Stephanie Meyer in a corner. May you all watch
don't.
It. So yeah, that's
there we go.
That's us and vampires.
Mm.
Well, no, it's not because we're going to talk about Fright Night.
I certainly hope not.
Yeah, that's it. That's the
half
show.
Half an hour of podcast to film.
That's us done. Bye. So we're going to take a very, very, very small break.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about an hour and 46 minutes.
Thereabouts.
Watch this shiz and then
return.
Chat about Fright Night.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
In a bit.
What would you do if you accidentally discovered the house next door was occupied by something not human? Something horrifying. Something unspeakably evil. No one believes you.
Didn't have a nightmare.
Not your mom.
They did kill a girl over there.
Not your girlfriend.
Charlie, is this some sort of a trick to get me back?
Not even the police.
Look, I know it's crazy. I know that, but look, Lieutenant!
It knows that you know. You'll do anything to protect yourself. But it will do anything to protect its secret.
Thank you.
Fright Night. If you love being scared, this could be the night of your life.
And we're back.
We are indeed.
Yeah, we just watched Fright Night.
Mm-hmm.
Was it? Had you seen it before?
I hadn't, no.
So it was a first watch for you. Probably about third watch for me. It's one of those that I saw probably in my teens for the first time, and then I watched it again a few years ago.
Okay.
So this was more of a refresher.
Mm-hmm.
But I hadn't seen it in a good few years. It's better than I remembered, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, I remembered it being really great, but I didn't remember it being quite as much fun.
Yeah.
So that was cool. Yeah, before we launch into a bit of a discussion, do you want to give us a synopsis? Bit of a rundown?
I guess it's a fairly standard plot, I suppose.
Quite formulaic.
Yeah. There's a mysterious gentleman moves into a house, and meanwhile, his neighbour becomes convinced he is a vampire.
Mm-hmm. Quite rightly.
Yeah.
So he said neighbour tries to enlist his girlfriend and a school friend. Nobody believes him.
Hijinks ends you.
Obviously. And there's also an ageing TV personality that they...
enlist.
Yeah, along the way to try and help them because they're convinced he's master vampire slayer.
Mm.
Should have just phoned Buffy, really.
Yeah.
That's where they went wrong. In half the length, though.
Yeah, felt it would have been a bit...
And they'd have been way more one-liners.
Anticlimactic, I suppose.
45 minutes long.
Yeah.
But loads of snappy dialogue.
Just an episode of Buffy, then.
Basically, yeah. But with Chris Sarandon.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's very, very, very hammy.
Mm, very, very hammy.
Very intentionally so,
yeah.
We should probably point out. I don't know if hammy's the right word. Because it's very...
kitsch.
Yeah. It's very reminiscent of the old sort of Hammer films, like Hammer... Oh, dear God, Cat Stampede. It's very reminiscent of, like, the Hammer and Amicus...
Mm-hmm. Productions.
Yeah, the school of vampirism,
mm-hmm.
I guess. And they take that and run with it. Like, the vampires are so traditional. Vampire is so traditional that he is literally a turning into a bat kind of a vampire who recoils at crosses and that's and garlic and stuff.
Holy water and all that stuff.
Yeah, so uber
vampires
traditional.
In the very traditional sense.
Yeah, like Vampire 101 this is. But they very knowingly kind of lampoon that in such an affectionate way that it's kind of a great film for anyone who's familiar with classic horror.
Mm.
Because it's just kind of a riot the way they riff on those old movies. Even down to the fact that Roddy McDowall, the TV personality, is obviously called Peter Vincent.
Yeah.
Wonder where that came
I
from.
Wonder.
Peter Cushing.
Oh, yeah, no.
Every time. So, it's very, very 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Very
80s.
Which we love here at Radio Gore Press. At least 50% of Radio Gore Press loves the 80s.
I wonder which 50% is that.
The one who saw more of the 80s, I would imagine. And who's seen The Lost Boys.
Yeah.
You're
not going to like it like
that. No, I'm really not. I'm actually more outraged that you haven't seen Near Dark just because it's the vastly better film. But we'll figure that out.
We'll fix it.
Yeah,
it's fine.
We'll
it's
watch
fine.
It after we've done this. It'll be a late night for you.
Yeah.
Back to back. Both of them.
Quite intense.
Yeah. Maybe Friday Night 2 as well. And the remake. Just all nighter. So, in terms of vampire films, I guess if you're very familiar with them, having seen about two.
Hey, three.
Three now, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you prefer the super traditional vampires, or do you prefer, I guess it's different in this case because it's done for comedy effect, but do you prefer it when it's like super traditional, or do you prefer it when it's done with a bit more originality?
I think they both have their own place. I think it depends very much on the type of film you're watching, because you know, kind of you know, you think about kind of vampires in, well, I mean, for example, Omega Man was mentioned, and consequently I Am Legend and all those sort of, they're technically vampires, you know. If you imagine them as kind of these kind of
technically a film
gothic vampires that turn into bats, it would be a completely different film. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
But then at the same time, you know, you imagine, you know, the kind of gothic castles and such in horror films, and so, you know, the traditional vampire has its place in that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think it depends on the film in question.
Yeah, I think Fright Night is quite interesting in that it does traditional vampires in an original
suburban
way.
Suburban setting, yeah.
I guess. Yeah.
But they still have that kind of, you know, with the house, the actual house they move into, it's very traditionally haunted housey.
The house is great.
It's amazing, isn't it?
The house is amazing, especially towards the end when it's literally billowing smoke.
Yeah.
And it looks really sort of funfair, haunted house-esque. It's brilliantly done. Really, really tremendously over the top,
very much so. Wall of clocks.
Yeah. So what did you think about the vampire makeup?
Because
it was kind of... It was a little bit all over the place at times.
Yeah, there were some really good bits and there were some really bad bits, I found. Mm-hmm. You know, the... what's her face? Amy?
Yep.
Her kind of vampire form at the end was pretty horrifying.
That was pretty
very
cool.
Very well done.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, when you've got... Chris Sarandon trying to talk around a mouthful of false teeth, it's a bit goofy, you know.
Yeah. I think the various stages of his transformation could have been segued a little bit better.
Yeah.
Because when he looked more extreme, I mean, obviously they're not going for a serious scary vibe.
No, of course not.
But the more extreme he looked, the more laughable the makeup looked, I think. Mm. Like, there is something to be said for subtlety. And although, like you mentioned, her makeup towards the end, I wouldn't call that subtle.
No.
But it was just one or two exaggerated features rather than the
everything,
whole face.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I suppose it's to a certain extent the Uncanny Valley effect.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of, there's an element of, you can see the humanity, but then there's kind of a twist that makes it really unsettling.
Yeah, definitely. Whereas I did kind of like some of what they tried to do with Chris Sarandon. I mean, the effects were great. They were pretty well realised for a film of this era and budget, I think. And again, just practical effects. Mm-hmm. You can't beat them. But I did... I kind of respected the fact that they almost looked like they were going for sort of like a Max Schreck Nosferatu vibe, like with the elongated ears and the really elongated fingers. And the shape of the head.
There was
everything.
Peter Vincent.
Stephen.
I have no idea who
says
he is.
Brother.
In his flat, there was that vampire head that looked
the prop
like
in the case.
Nosferatu's, you know, Max Schreck Nosferatu.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a nice touch.
But yeah, I kind of liked that they went that old school with the makeup, even though it might not have been massively successful for a comedy. We can overlook that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's. You could definitely see where the inspiration had come from. There was no question. So that's pretty awesome. There were fairly few effects, sort of, until like the last 25 minutes, really. And then it just went effect crazy.
Yeah.
But it was bloody awesome. I think one of my favourite shots in the entire film is when, what's his face? Evil Ed, who, it turns out, now has a career in gay porn, we discovered. We were looking for film trivia. We didn't just stumble upon that information randomly.
So, like,
we should probably point
beforehand.
Out. Yeah, definitely didn't. What are we talking about? Yeah, the shot towards the end, obviously, spoilers again. he's been turned into a vampire and then transforms himself into a wolf or a husky.
Yeah.
Some kind of a dog. just that shot when the dog is running down the corridor in slow motion. I love that.
Mm.
I think that's brilliant. And the effect after that, when Peter Vincent stakes him, I think we read in the trivia that he was in makeup for like 18
it's
hours
crazy,
at one
isn't
point.
It?
How could you...
be a nightmare.
If my makeup takes me more than 18 minutes in the morning, I am pissed.
I know, right?
Wait, I figured you'd sympathise. 18 hours. That's unimaginable.
Mm.
Did he get to sleep while they were putting it on?
Certainly hope so. Poor guy.
Yeah, that, I mean, you could sort of see it. Like, they weren't really primitive effects. No. There was a lot going on there. And just the bit where he stabs the dog, I know that was the moment that gave you like the biggest laugh when the dog's kind of like limbs are going in all directions and he's crawling
off. He's fallen off of the thing. He hasn't been stabbed at the point, but when he's kind of gone careering off of the
oh no, he stabs him before that. Yeah, he's got the thing all the way through him and the dog's just like
oh yeah,
<is going.
laughs> drags himself across the floor. Yeah. That tickled me.
Weirdly, it's sort of the moment for me that kind of looked the most absurd, but also I was kind of like, oh, that dog. It was a really weird experience.
Hmm.
But yeah, that it was almost a little bit American Werewolf in London.
There were bits that reminded me of that.
Yeah.
Particularly when he was transforming. Was it him that was transforming? That was a shot of the close-up of the foot.
Yes.
That was being transforming. And like, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
That's very, very American Werewolf.
I'm not sure I'd say the effects were quite as good as... Who actually did the effects on Fright Night? I didn't look into that. Let's have a look.
Let's look.
Yeah, I certainly wouldn't say the effects were as good as, but they definitely...
No. Well, I mean,
were reminiscent of...
Rick Baker, then. Is it Rick Baker or was it...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was because Rob Bottin did The Thing, didn't he? I think we've had this discussion before.
We don't know. Podcast land. No names stand out.
Special effects.
Creature effects. Bill Sturgeon.
Visual effects.
Don't know what else he's done. So yeah, no huge names. But I think they were bloody well done for the most part. 18 hours just blows my mind.
And the poor guy, apparently he had... There was a... The special effects guys had a solution. They poured into his mouth to make it look like he was salivating, and it turned out to be dental glue, and he glued his mouth together.
It does sound like they really put some of the actors through the ringer, because there was something else about them making the contact lenses.
Well, contact lenses, yeah. I mean, like...
For the vampire transformation.
Primitive contact lenses were horrible. Well, I mean, not from experience, but...
I remember the first time, would have been 16 years ago, that I tried gas permeable lenses.
Okay.
And they just made my eyes water constantly.
Ooh.
And I would imagine these were probably a darn sight worse than that, back in 1985, that they'd handmade, scratched the actor's eyes.
Yeah.
Caused temporary blindness to one of them, I think I read. That's dedication on their part.
Yeah.
Or sadism really, on the director's part, I don't know.
Mm.
One of the two. Combination of both, perhaps.
Probably.
But yeah, as we mentioned previously, when we were talking about The Lost Boys and cracking 80s soundtrack, I think Fright Night soundtrack rivals it for me.
Yeah.
I think it's bloody awesome. Oh, the scene in the club.
It was amazing.
Some of the extras really going for it. And the hair.
So much hair. The 80s was big on hair, literally.
Big on big hair.
Big on big hair.
Yeah. That was phenomenal. Oh, dear. So, I've never actually seen Fright Night 2.
Okay.
And it wasn't until I was sort of checking the info for this one that I realised... I don't know, for some reason I'd imagine that it was a completely separate story.
Yeah.
But it looks like they bring some of the... Well, the Peter Vincent and Charlie Brewster are back. So
okay.
I'm really intrigued to check that out now. I always heard it was a bit pap, so yeah. I never bothered.
Well, their sequels usually are.
Yeah, but I might have to look into that and report back next fortnight.
Good plan.
I'll do it so you don't have to. Yeah, do you want to say anything else about Fright Night?
How does the remake compare?
Oh.
Because I wanted to make sure I watched the original first.
Yeah.
Can't remember whether I've got the remake.
I mean, it's...
At home, but...
It's not awful.
Okay.
But as we mentioned with Let the Right One In and Let Me In, it's just fucking pointless.
Okay.
And... Colin Farrell is no Chris Sarandon. He wishes. No, it's like the highlight obviously is David Tennant doing the Peter Vincent role, just because he plays it in almost like a Russell Brand sort of crazy madcap Englishman in leather trousers over the top way.
That sounds amazing.
He is genuinely quite entertaining. I never really thought much of him because I'm not really a Doctor Who fan or anything. He
can act.
Yeah, well, he'd sort of been brought to my attention as Doctor Who, and because I didn't give a shit about that, I kind of he was never on my radar.
If you look, there's some other things he's done that there was a show called Secret Smile in which he plays, I think I might have mentioned it, he plays like an abusive husband, and he's Scottish by birth, and he's
so that automatically primes for an aggressive role is what you're saying.
Not what I'm saying,
that's offensive.
He doesn't hide his Scottish accent, and that makes it all the more intimidating. Chilling.
Oh, I might have to dig that out then. But yeah, I mean, if you're gonna watch the remake, it's enjoyable for him, if nothing else.
Okay.
The main guy, I think it's Anton Yelchin, who's been in like the Star Trek film.
Okay, so is he
Chekhov? Yeah. And he was
seen him something recently, actually.
He was Odd Thomas. Blech. The less said about that, the better.
What have I seen him in recently? Because I remember recognizing him, and then.
Yeah. He was brilliant in Alpha Dog as well. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He crops up now and again, and he's actually a really great actor.
I've definitely seen him in something recently. I think he plays quite a. He might have been Criminal Minds. I'm still watching. But he plays a sinister character.
Yeah, he's a really, really good actor, but he's wasted in Friday Night because his character is just so bland.
Mm.
It's really annoying.
What have I seen you in? Not the Smurfs. I'm gonna have to. Criminal Minds, yeah. In an episode of Criminal Minds.
I'll learn something new every day. You've watched that shit, but you haven't watched Near Dark.
I'm sorry.
You need to sort your life out, Pip. But yeah, the cast is there.
Yeah.
But the.
Okay. I think I need to watch it myself.
Yeah, definitely watch it. I mean.
Because I'd be curious, obviously you weren't, from the sounds of it, you're not kind of as enamoured with Friday Night as you are, for example, Lost Boys.
No, I'd say they're on a par.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that nostalgia though? That's basically what I'm getting at. I'm wondering whether.
I think Friday Night is the better film.
Okay.
I think nostalgia counts for a lot of my love for the Lost Boys.
Yeah.
They're very similar. They're very similar. But I think Friday Night pips it.
You know, I think having seen this fresh, you know, now, you know, it's obviously, it's like we were saying earlier, you know, when you're talking about the concept of, like, the Goonies sequel.
Yeah.
You know, it makes you want, you know, there are people who are saying, well, actually, these films aren't as good as you remember.
Mm.
And I think there's truth to that.
Yeah.
Not that they're not good, but they are certainly, because, you know, a lot of them are.
The Goonies is not, like, a phenomenal, you know, example of filmmaking, is it?
But, you know, a lot of them can be very limited by. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. But then, you know, a lot of them are limited by things that were available at the time, I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, and I think there is.
I think therein lies the charm.
I'm not necessarily justifying it, but, you know, it does make you wonder what can be done with a bigger budget and more, you know, just hypothetically speaking anyway.
Yeah, I don't think that's always the road to improving on something.
Oh, no,
I think a lot of the charm of things like The Goonies and The Lost Boys is because they're very of their time.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
I definitely think that.
But,
so anyway, give us a wrap-up and an out of 10 score for Fright Night.
Yeah, I was watching, I was trying to work out, I think. The whole thing weirdly seemed to drag for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite long for a film of it's nearly 2 hours.
I felt like it was unevenly spaced. I felt like they started the final, let's go hunt him down, like, 20 minutes too early.
Yeah.
And the whole thing seemed to be, like, climaxing, and it just kind of went on and on, you know.
But the climax was awesome.
It was. But, you know, I just felt like it kind of. Every time you expected it to end, it kind of just went on a bit longer. So I felt
that's you're gonna hate me, but that's how I felt a little bit about Cabin in the Woods. Not that it went on too long.
Okay.
Just the weird sort of false endings.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was quite a short... Oh, no, it's still going.
It's still going.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, each their own. I don't hate you for it, but...
I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
But in a similar way, like, I kept feeling like it was going to wind up, and then there was another 10 minutes, and then I felt like that again, and then there was another 10 minutes.
To me,
minutes.
Though, it wasn't like... like, Cabin in the Woods, for some reason, it was almost like, you know, kind of... again, like I keep likening them to fairground rides. I don't know why.
Yeah,
but,
no,
you know,
I mean, I get that was the point, sort of like to take you on a ride, effectively. Yeah.
But yeah.
Mind, I also know what you mean about Fright Night being a bit saggy in the middle. Maybe, I mean, they set this thing up really, really quickly, and effectively, and then there's a lot of talking and a lot of convincing and blah blah blah, and then. Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I think it could have done with maybe being 10 minutes shorter.
Yeah, yeah, I think it would have benefited from that. And you know,
but not from the end. They should have taken a chunk out the middle.
Probably just taken out the dance scene. Really.
No way! You're kidding! That's the best bit!
Oh, the staring that went on in that scene.
It was brilliant.
So much staring.
You cray cray.
but, I mean, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't... rush to watch it again.
Okay.
I don't think so. I don't think it's quite as
it's not made a super
enjoyable
impact
as
on you
previous ones we've seen. So I'd say perhaps like 6.5 out of 10.
That's still not bad. That's still above average.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm not saying it's average. I think it's just not quite as
okay.
I didn't quite enjoy it quite as much as
well.
And again,
no,
you know,
that's
fine. It makes you wonder.
No, that's fine, Phil. Fuck you.
Oh no. but I mean, it makes you wonder how much of that is, again, nostalgia. You
yeah.
Because
I'm sure
it's
that's got
a lot of
to do with
a lot
me.
Of it, a lot of kind of, you know, classic films. It's hard to watch them, and distance them from, kind of.
Well, it's like the time I made you watch Empire Records.
We need to watch the proper.
Yeah, it
edit
didn't.
Of that.
It didn't help that we had the. Super extended crappy shitty fan edition. I've now tracked down the original cut at
which
great expense. But yeah, I do think it was kind of like that where I'm like, oh my god, this film is amazing. It was like a huge part of my youth. You need to watch this. And we watched it and it was like, oh, seeing it from an outsider's point of view, this is not that great, is it? So I guess it's that is gonna happen.
Yeah,
if you know, if it's a film that I've kind of talked up because I enjoyed it when I was a kid or whatever, and you're seeing it with fresh eyes,
yeah,
almost 30 years after it was made, then that's bound to affect your judgment of it.
Mm.
Absolutely.
What about you?
Me, on the other hand. I love me some Fright Night. I agree with everything you've said, but at the same time... because of nostalgia,
yeah.
And I'll completely hold both hands up and say, because of nostalgia, I'm willing to forgive it some of the flaws that you.
Well, I mean,
out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, watching films is a very subjective experience, and you're of course going to be, your opinions are going to be affected by the situation in which you're watching them. You know?
Yeah, and maybe reminded of how you might have watched it previously.
Yeah, and so you know, with, if you watched it as a kid and loved it, then of course you're going to be more. Forgiving of it,
yeah,
you know, in later years,
definitely,
so.
Definitely.
I mean, of course, it's understandable that you.
I just really dig what they did with it. Like, the traditional vampire thing was done so well. Like, I wouldn't call it a pastiche as such, but they do kind of lampoon that sort of classic vampire quite a little bit.
Mm.
Roddy McDowall was. I love him in this.
Excellent.
I love him with his sprayed white hair. It's ridiculous. Brilliant. I can't imagine what the film would have been like without his character.
Yeah.
He lent so much to it. But yeah, just brilliant. Really, really solidly enjoyable. I do agree that it is a little bit saggy. Could do with being 10 minutes shorter, maybe. A lot of the characters are quite larger than life, which really lends to the whole surreal comedic...
Plus, I'm not sure I bought... I mean, chipping in again.
Go on.
I'm not sure I bought Chris Sarandon as this kind of, like, sexually alluring...
Oh, he was so sleazy.
He was. Yeah. He was just kind of a bit creepy, really. And there's kind of Amy falling in love with him and being infatuated and he's just kind of there leering over her.
Yeah.
Didn't really buy that.
Creepsville.
Anyway, you were saying.
But again, I'll forgive it that because it's yeah. a comedy and because
this
it was the 80s.
Yeah, this is true.
And because they had a song by the J. Gale's band and all of the above. Roddy McDowell. So I'm going to give it an 8.
8?
But minus 1 for nostalgia. So
give an 8 if you want.
Well, I am going to give it an 8. No,
averages,
don't get me wrong.
7, 8.
I am going to give it an 8. But, like, take away 1 for nostalgia okay. points, I would say. But only 1.
Yeah. Okay.
But because it's my score, I am going to go with 8.
Go for it. So that averages about 7, really.
Yeah, which is pretty fucking cool.
Mm.
And now I might actually have to look on Netflix for Fright Night 2.
Go for it.
I don't know if it's... Is it the same director? It was a different director, wasn't it? Because Tom Holland did... Oh, some shit.
Child's Play.
He did Child's Play and then it all went wrong because he did the bloody Langoliers, which I've talked about on so many different occasions because... It just assaulted my retinas.
Nice.
When I was a teenager, and
in
it
the
refuses
worst way,
to
presumably.
Leave. Absolutely, absolutely. Oh God, that and the Tommyknockers haunted my teen years. Stupid Stephen King.
I say not a Stephen King fan.
No, I am a Stephen King fan.
But just
I think
right
he's
hands.
A weird, creepy motherfucker. But I am a Stephen King fan. Just some of the adaptations.
Yeah.
Oh, swing and a miss.
Mm. So, Frank Darabont all the way.
Oh God, yeah.
Just everything Frank Darabont. Yeah.
Absolutely. So yeah, that's a wrap on Fright Night.
Yeah.
I would say. Not a lot else we really need to mention. There's a couple new reviews on the site, so you can check that out at gorepress.com. Mm-hmm.
Written an article about
Yeah, you've written...
Hopefully we're going to try and open up a short movies review section.
It's something I've been wanting to do for a hell of a long time. And a lot of writers at the site have approached me saying they want to cover short films. And there were just never enough to warrant it having its own mm-hmm. section. But I really do want to put some emphasis back on short films. Because there's so much great stuff out there.
Yeah, especially with, Fudio. Is it Fudio?
There's a YouTube... Which is ring a bell.
Kind of, I think they're based on YouTube. They're mm-hmm. basically horror, kind of, they specialise in genre horror movies. There's obviously the Bloody Cuts anthology.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of kind of film competition winners and such.
Yeah,
there's
all sorts
like,
these
there's
days.
A ton of really amazing short movies out there.
I mean, without wanting to trivialise the entire process, it's easier now than ever for people to make short films.
Mm.
So there's more now than ever.
Mm.
And there's some really cracking stuff out there because people who wouldn't necessarily have been able to make short films before but had the ideas now are able to afford it with crowdfunding and cheaper cameras and all sorts. And, you know, being able to film stuff on your DSLR.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting. It's a pretty exciting time for the short film. Mm. So definitely, definitely keep your eyes peeled because we are going to try and get on that short film train.
We'll get there.
And ride it hard. The only other thing I wanted to mention was sort of, I don't want to end on a sad note, but
we're going to anyway.
Yeah, Twitter, or our little corner of Twitter anyway, kind of exploded with the news that FearNet is basically no more as of today because of a merger. And a lot of writers that we kind of chat to and respect are kind of without a job now. And it's quite depressing that a site that is so well read and well loved, and I mean, it was a huge source of info for me, and they were a really great site because they used to put films out there for free, web series, all sorts. It was really cool, and there were so many great writers there, and it's sad that that can just sort of be snuffed out quite so quickly, and that they found out at the same time
everybody else found out.
That sucks. So massive kind of condolences from to anyone who was affected by that. You're all great writers. I'm sure you won't have trouble finding work.
Of course not, no.
But we are very, very much sad to see FearNet go. So yeah, that's kind of a sad note to end on, but we wanted to mention it.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're doing next show. We haven't talked about that yet.
No, we haven't, have we?
Something completely different again. Or maybe we can open it up to... listener suggestion again, because some I can't remember who it is now, can't remember the username, but somebody was pushing for martyrs again.
Okay.
I'm not sure I want to put myself through that.
I've yet to see it. There was a Reddit thread on the most kind of brutal horror films, and Martyrs was up there.
Like, so. That and Irreversible for me are two films that I'm not sure I ever want to see it through again. So, depending on how brave / drunk I'm feeling, we'll see on that one. Otherwise, please do keep the suggestions coming in, because we do listen to them.
We'll try and keep Twitter going, prompting or prompt every now and
then.
Yeah,
definitely. I'll do some posts tomorrow.
Ideas going.
Yeah.
And on Facebook, obviously.
Yeah, Twitter, you can find us at Radio Gore Press.
Mm-hmm.
On Facebook, if you just search for Radio Gore Press, will be the first result. And obviously, gorepress.com.
Yeah.
Go and check out the reviews and...
stuff.
Whatever else. News.
Reviews,
all kinds of shit.
Articles.
You can even buy a t-shirt and help fund us. Because this website has cost us rather a lot of more money than it's made us. So do that. Yeah. Until then, thank you for tuning in.
Yeah.
We'll catch you again in a fortnight.
Bye-bye.